I got a great message this morning. It's called Three Women and a Wall. And by the way, great to see you here this morning and your beautiful family. Good job, Natalie. You brought your whole family, your two boys and your gorgeous daughter. Well done. For visitors here, I just want to welcome you as well and just say thank you. And even Mick, why don't we say hello to Mick this morning? He turned up once every 3 months, so good to see you, Mick. Three Women and a Wall. What a great title for a sitcom, I reckon. If we were doing sitcoms, that would be a great title. Three Women and a Wall. All right, fair enough. If you're watching along with me and reading, we are going through the book of Joshua. We looked last week at Joshua, and we're coming this week to the walls of Jericho. And the Bible says that as they came across the Jordan, these great imposing walls of Jericho, it says they came to Joshua. It's here. 6 verse 1 says, now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, and none went out and none came in. And so I want to read another verse to you where Moses was encouraging the children of Israel to go in. He explained what the walls of Jericho looked like. He said, listen, O Israel, in Deuteronomy 9 verse 1, he said, listen, O Israel, today you are about to cross the Jordan River to take over the land belonging to the nations much greater and more powerful than you. They live in cities with walls, everyone say walls, that reach to the sky. With walls, that's Bible speak for really big walls. That's Bible speak for impenetrable walls. That's Bible language to say, man, this place is so secure and so shut up, and what stands between you and the promised land and the promises of God is a, everyone say, a wall. And so this morning I want to say, I'm believing, I was sitting on the front row and I'm praying, God, let walls come down. All morning and all night last night I have been praying, God, let walls come down. God, let walls come down. Let walls in our heart come down. Let natural obstacles come down. You know, people face natural obstacles, just stuff in the physical realm, sore legs, sore knees, sore arms. We're going to pray that they come down. We're going to pray that natural obstacles, you know, my boss doesn't see me and give me a promotion, natural obstacles, but we want to pray for emotional obstacles. And this morning, that's one of the other things we're going to pray for. We're going to pray for spiritual obstacles. And we're going to see that natural walls and spiritual walls and emotional walls can come down. The greatest walls and obstacles you face actually aren't necessarily in the world. They're often in your mind. The greatest obstacles and the greatest challenges that you will face between where you are and where God is calling you to be is actually in your mind. And so this morning I'm going to talk about the message, Three Women and a Wall. And I'm going to look at three different women, and we're going to play a game of, this is going to be so cool, Bible trivia. Brad and Zach and I did this yesterday where we just randomly started calling people to see if they were any good at Bible trivia. So this morning, I particularly want the ladies to play. So it's a game called Bible trivia. Would you come out please, Elise, and just bring me those prizes? Okay, we're going to have three prizes. One at a time. Two, it's okay, it's not breakable. Three prizes for three women who can give the information. Now, I'm really hoping this message is either going to be like just sensationally cool on a Mother's Day and we're going to have so much fun in the house. Everyone say fun. Yes, okay. We're going to have so much fun in the house. Or this message is just going to flop. And so if the message goes really cool, really, really cool and good, I'm going to go, thank you, Jesus, it worked. And if the message flops, I'm going to go, I don't know what you were thinking. But we're going to play a game of Bible trivia. So I would like you to put your hands up. We're going to do this morning. We're going to go through three different women. And I'm going to ask, first of all, everyone in the house, if you have heard of a person called Rahab, would you lift your hand really, really high? Really high. Come on. Okay. Now, Brett, have you heard of Rahab? Yeah. Put your hand in the air. It's going to get harder as we go. All right. Now, if you could tell me what book Rahab is in, keep your hand in the air. Come on. Holy. Okay, we got some, all right. Now, if you could tell me a little bit about Rahab, keep your hand in the air, okay? Okay, so these people could tell me about Rahab. They could tell me the book that Rahab is in. And if you are bold and confident and would like to come up onto the stage, come on up, Frances. Give her a hand as she comes up. She didn't even know she was coming up. This is going to be awesome. I can already feel it. This is going to be brilliant. Okay, we're going to go. Come on up, Francis. Take the stairs because apparently they're easy to fall up and easy to fall down. Would you like to take my hand? I'll help you up. There you go. We don't want another mistake this morning, do we, Tiffany? What? I was just saying we don't. Moving on really quickly, okay? I would like all the hands to go up. If you could tell me about a lady called... Are you ready? Drum roll, please. Okay. Ruth. Put your hand up if you know about Ruth. Okay, good, good. Put your hand up if you know which book Ruth is in. You're laughing, but people failed that question yesterday. I was scared, okay, you know about Ruth. Put your hand up, keep your hand up if you know what nationality Ruth is. Okay, good, we're getting there. Keep your hand up if you know something special about Ruth, who she married. Okay, there we're going. Put your hands together for the mighty and beautiful Brahma as she comes up this morning. Come on, Brahma. Woo! Come on, give it up for Brahma. It's going to be awesome. All right, I'm going to need a, by the way, sound man, I'm going to need a microphone up here. Take my hand, Brahma, please. Come on up, take a step, take another step. Thank you so much, Beck. That's awesome. Go and stand next to your beautiful friend, Frances. Okay, we got the third person this morning, the third woman. This is how I get away with doing very little sermon prep. I just find out what everyone else knows and then call them up and they're going to preach a sermon to you. It's going to be sick as. Okay. Or, you know. Anyway, third person, are you ready? Get your drum roll ready. 3, 2, 1, go. Third person, please put your hand up if you know the lady called Bathsheba. Okay, good, good. Now, keep your hand up if you know who Bathsheba married. Okay, good. Good. Keep your hand up if you know what made Bathsheba really special. Okay. Put your hand up if you know that Bathsheba made a mistake. Keep your hand up. All right, just to shake things up this morning, we're going to ask for a gentleman to come up. Put your hands together for Mr. Sean Bennett. Come on up, Sean. Woo! Now, keep it going, keep it going. He's just really walking slowly, huh? Oh. Take my hand. Take my hand.
I would have stayed there. I would have kept my hand down.
Oh, really? I'm sorry, Sean. I didn't know. Sean's like, if I'd known you were going to call a man up, I would have put my hand down, you know, but... This is going to go awesome. This is going to go fantastic this morning. Who's excited? Three women. No, that's the message title, Three Women and a Wall. Sorry, Sean, that wasn't... I'm starting to see why you would have chosen to stay seated. I'm understanding that now. Three women and a wall, and we're going to talk a little bit about them this morning. But the Bible talks about these incredible women of God, okay, and talks about their failings and their shortcomings. And this is why I know the Bible's not written by man. Because if I was writing a story about me or my family or my friends, I would want the good... So who's ever read an autobiography? Put your hand up. Yeah, you guys need prayer. Them books are boring ass. Anyway, sorry. Sorry, but you know, autobiographies, right? Have you ever read an autobiography where they tell you what a lame-o thing they did? They don't. They tell you all the cool stuff. It's like the highlight reel. But the Bible tells you some of the mistakes and some of the walls and the obstacles. There you go. Oh, I wondered how that was going to fit. There you go. Some of the walls and the obstacles and the mistakes that they made. And so this morning, we're going to look at three women and the walls that they had to go through. So the first lady this morning goes to the beautiful Frances. Don't be nervous. You're not nervous? Okay, here we go. Frances, can you take the microphone? Can you put it on your chin? And just chat. Say hello.
Hello.
Beautiful, that sounds good. Can everyone hear her? Yes. Okay, Frances, your first lady is Rahab. Okay. Where is Rahab? Could you tell me what book she's in?
Joshua.
Joshua, okay, good job. Everyone hold up a point. Good, Joshua. Can you tell me something special about her?
She saved her family because she believed that God was God.
That's good. 2 points. Okay. Can you tell me perhaps of a failing or a mistake that she may have made or been associated with?
Well, she lived in Jericho, so that was her first mistake. She didn't believe in God to begin with. She traded herself for money.
Can you elaborate on that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That was really well. Didn't she do well? That was awesome. Good job. Nice. Okay. Is there anything else? Or you reckon that's pretty much it? I think that's pretty close.
That's pretty close.
So she didn't have the best reputation, did she?
I don't know, because I'm not sure what Jericho actually thought of the women who traded themselves for money. We know what God thought, but I don't know what they thought. And she had her own house, so maybe they thought really highly of them. I don't know.
Looks like I'm not going to get much of an opportunity to preach this morning. Okay. That's awesome, Francis. That's really good. So we'll go from a biblical point of view. She didn't have a very good reputation, am I right?
That's correct.
From a biblical point of view, a lady who trades herself isn't held in high esteem. You understand that? Do I need any more information? Can I just give more information? Moving on. So we have the wonderful Rahab. Okay, can you pass the microphone, please, to the beautiful Brelma? Brelma, can you put it on your chin? Say good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay, and you have a beautiful lady that you want to talk about this morning. Who is that?
I believe it's Ruth, isn't it?
Ruth. And what book is Ruth found in?
Ruth.
Okay, now just, if I asked you guys yesterday, I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but I had a daughter, and others, by the way, I'm not looking at Brad, but g'day, Brad. And when we asked who Ruth was, the answer, a woman in the Bible.
And my grandmother, and my mother, and my sister.
What?
Ruth.
Ruth was?
My grandmother, my mother, and my sister.
What? Okay. What?
She must be related to a couple of Ruths.
Family name.
Oh, right, okay.
Family name.
Okay. I was going in one track, she was going in another. I'm starting to understand what you deal with, Andy. It's fine. No, moving on, sorry. I'm kidding. Moving on. Let's go. Come on. Ruth is found where?
In the book of Ruth.
Okay. What was a distinguishing factor about this lady? What nationality was she?
Moabite.
A Moabite. And were they accepted or rejected?
By the Jews, rejected.
By the Jews. Why were they rejected?
Because they were Gentiles.
Because they were Gentiles. Any other reason? I've got a story to tell, but that's okay.
Because they didn't worship the Yahweh, the Jew, God of the Jews.
Did they do anything else wrong that maybe made Moses a little bit angry at them?
Oh, well, they didn't let them through the land, did they? They didn't let them through the land as they...
That's the one I was looking
yes.
for. Yeah, okay. So Ruth is a Moabite, rejected by God. In fact, Moses said that the Moabites were not to be accepted even to the 10th generation. Like that's, again, so you know Bible speak, walls going to the sky, big walls, insurmountable obstacle. 10th generation, it's not like they counted. One, two, your son and your son and your... No, it means just never. That's what it means. It means that if you're a Moabite, you are never coming in to the Israelite community. If you're a Moabite, you are a stench in our nostrils. That's another, you know, Hebrew idiom. Okay, are you ready? Would you hand the microphone, please, to the one and only, the beautiful, the amazing Mr. Do you like the way I said Mr.? Sean Bennett. Come on, give him up, please. All right, Sean, here we go this morning. You have the lovely lady Bathsheba. Can you tell me something about her from a, like, okay.
Yes. Hello.
Behave.
She was,
I know this
she
guy.
Was beautiful.
She was beautiful.
She liked to take baths on the rooftop.
Yeah. It's like Father's... No, it's not like Father's Day. Moving on. That was... Right. Carrying on, Sean.
You asked the question.
She was beautiful. She used to take baths on the rooftop. Who? Put your hand up if you know about Bathsheba. Okay, put your hand up if you know who she married. Okay, good job.
Two people, yes.
Oh, nice little Francis going. Don't show off, Francis. You only get one box of chocolates, eh? You don't get two. Yeah. So she was married.
Yes.
And she caught the eye of someone. Who'd she catch the eye of?
King David.
And what happened?
They got together and...
Did they?
Yes. They created another person. Yeah.
That's good. And... For extra
so
credit.
Her husband was Uriah the Hittite. Well, did you want to know that one?
Yeah, go for it. Tell the story. Tell the story about Bathsheba. Go.
Yeah, she caught David's eye, so he got her to come and spend the night, and they spent time together, and then she got pregnant, so David called her husband back and said, go and spend some time with your wife. So he wouldn't spend time with his wife because he said, all my friends and the army's all out at wherever they were fighting, so I'm not going to do that. And then David sent him back with a letter and said, give this to your captain when you get there, and sent him to the hardest part of fighting, so he got killed. And then I think David married her and she had the child, and the child died. That child did. And then she had Solomon. They had another child. Yeah, so.
Did you hear that, Brad?
The father of King Solomon.
Solomon. Who was the one who said Samson yesterday? Where's that person? Okay, here we go. Can you give them a hand, please? I'm just going to give them chocolate. That's for you, my friend. That was a great job. That's for you, Brahma. And last but certainly not least, the beautiful Frances. You get a box of chocolates on Mother's Day. And Sean, you get to share them with your wife. And now I've just done you a solid, because now you give them to her and you go, look at me, what a great husband I am. And you can slip me that 50 later, mate, because I'm guaranteeing you forgot to get your wife something for Mother's Day, didn't you? Wait, I'm going to ask. Did he get you something for Mother's Day? Oh, my gosh. That is so special. What did you get? What did he get you? Perfume. Bring it up. I'm just... I know, that was going somewhere in a... Can you see that? Because you look at those stories, okay? You look at Joshua. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, I'm just going to redo it really quickly. Chapter 2, verse 1. Then Joshua secretly sent out spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there the night. Can you just take a moment and recognize that that's what Frances was saying? She was a lady who traded herself for financial benefit. In the biblical currency, that is not highly esteemed. In the Bible version and the Bible verses, that is not something you aspire to. That is somebody who had some walls between her and where she wanted to go. Are you following me this morning? I'm going to go to the second person, the book of Ruth. In the days when the judges, and there's a whole heap here because I love these stories and I love the fact that we were talking yesterday and making them all interlock, but in the days when judges ruled in Israel, a severe famine came upon the land. So a man from Bethlehem means house of bread. There's no bread in the house, which is just an entire biblical sermon right there that you could unpack. But we're going to move on. It says, He left his home and went to live in the country of Moab. You know things are bad when you leave Bethlehem to go to a place you shouldn't be. You know things are bad when you are going to hang around with what the Israelites considered the enemy. And he goes to Moab, taking his wife and two sons. If you drop down to verse 4, the two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah and the other married a woman named Ruth. Why is this important? Because if you were to look into Deuteronomy, Moses says, no Ammonite, no Moabite, or their descendants for 10 generations may be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. These nations did not welcome you with food and water when you came out of Egypt. Instead, they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor, a distant Aram, Nathan, to curse you. And so if you remember the story, when they saw the Israelite army coming towards them, King Balak decided to go get Balaam. Balaam was the guy who had the talking donkey, and he got Balaam to come and curse them. And when Balaam finally went, Balaam couldn't curse him, he could only bless them, and Balak was really cranky. So then Balak and Balaam concocted another plan, and they said, what we're going to do is we're going to send the women down into the camp, our pretty women, the beautiful women, and they're going to deceive the men and lead them astray, and they get them to worship Baal by offering transactory favors, that sort of, you can figure that out yourself. And so he led them astray. And so God and Moses particularly says, they are never coming in. This is, you know, this is not going to happen. We are not letting them in. And so the third lady we see then was a lady called Bathsheba. And the Bible says she was beautiful physically, but there was something amiss in her heart. And she gets called over by the king and she goes and spends a night with the king. And I love the story because I can just imagine, and I love those memes where, you know, if you've ever seen it, it's like, the man stood there, and the little meme above it says, you know, when Uriah sees David in heaven. It's like just... So, you know, here's this Uriah guy, and he's faithfully serving and fighting on the front line. He's doing everything right, and David's like, oh, I've got your wife pregnant. That's pretty awkward for us all. So why don't you come home, and you go into it, and we'll pretend that it was you. And he is so honourable and so integrous that he goes in and he says, I couldn't possibly go and spend a night in my own home with my own wife when your men are on the front line. And so he stayed there. The next night, David brings him into the palace. He plies him with drink, which is not fruit juice. So he gets him, you know, rolling happy. And then he says, go and be with your wife. Because she's only across the road, because David could see her. So he walks out and he spends the night on the palace steps because he says, I would never do that. And you look at Bathsheba and David, who are concocting this plan together to try and get out of the fact that they've created a... So you get to see the point that she's maybe not the most integrous lady. Maybe she's made a few mistakes. And then you've got to ask the question, Phil, where are you going with this? And I have no idea. I'm just kidding. I want to say to you that every single one of us makes mistakes in life. Every single one of us makes mistakes in life. Every single one of us, possibly in this place, was born on the wrong side of the tracks. You were born an alien and a foreigner, excluded, segregated, sectioned off from the promises of God. Every single one of us have done the wrong thing. There's not a single person. So I'm not just talking to mums. I'm talking to dads this morning. I'm not just talking to the old. I'm talking to the young. Every one of us have got walls that separate us from the promises of God. Every one of us have got walls that segregate us off from the promises and the favor and the blessings of God. Every one of us have built up walls of shame and guilt and mistakes that we've made. Are you still following me this morning? And so the Bible's accounts aren't just accounts that we read and we go, oh, that's cool. The Bible accounts us so that we can read and recognize ourselves in that story. That even if one time somebody said, you're not good enough and you're not going to make it and you don't deserve the favor and blessing of God, even if you behaved in a way that actually lined up with you not being good enough, there's still a promise for you. And I want to read, and this is just an incredible promise that we find in the book of Matthew. When the author gives the genealogy of Jesus. I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to read two verses, verse 5 and verse 6. And it says, Solomon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was who? Whose mother was Rahab. Solomon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. King David, the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. In the two verses, I just get this incredible sense that God says, what the world says, you don't belong. And you don't fit, and you've made mistakes that are unforgivable, and they're shameful, and you're never going to make it. When the world says that to you, when I read these verses, I go, there is always hope. Hope that says God will bring you in and make you part of His divine family. And I just think that's a message for every mum in this house, and that's a message for every person in this house, that no matter what mistakes you've made, no matter what you've done, good or bad. Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. You could turn up and you could be like the Apostle Paul. You could say, I was a Jew. I was a tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I did everything right according to the law. I was perfect. And all of that is rubbish. It's worthless. I want to be in the family of Christ. I want to be connected with Him. I want to have my name written in to the lineage of Christ. And that's available for each and every one of us. How can you just take a moment? Doesn't matter what you've done. Don't keep doing it. Doesn't matter what mistakes you've made, whether you were born on the wrong side of the tracks. There is opportunity for you to be written into the family of Christ. There are these moments, even now, where you can say, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins and my mistakes? I love the story, particularly in the book of Joshua, where the two spies turn to Rahab And they say to her, and this is what Francis said before, which I thought was fantastic. They say to her, we will show you favor. We are coming in and taking this city. And she says to them, would you show me favor? And they say, we will show you favor. Gather your family and bring them into the house. And here's what you need to do. You put a scarlet cord out your window. And for those who have known the biblical stories and the illustrations and the allusions that it paints, that scarlet cord speaks of the blood of the Lamb. That scarlet cord speaks of the blood of Jesus. And the thing that saved Rahab wasn't that she'd been kind to spies. The thing that saved her was that her house was defined by the scarlet cord. And the thing that saves you isn't that you came to church today, and the thing that saves you isn't that you put enough money into the tithe bucket, which we don't actually have, but we do have offering stations up the back in case you wanted to. The thing that saves you isn't that you turned up to the 9 o'clock prayer meeting. The thing that saves you is that your house and your life is defined by the scarlet cord. Can you get that this morning? Would you close your eyes and let me just pray for you? Father, my prayer this morning is that walls of segregation and separation, that walls of shame and guilt would come down in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I just want to prophesy and speak over lives this morning. People who feel that they're not good enough. People who feel that they don't measure up. People who feel maybe that they'll never measure up. I just want to speak to them this morning and say, may the walls come down in the name of Jesus. People who think that through sexual favors they've made mistakes that cannot be undone, I pray the walls would come down in the name of Jesus. People who've been born on the wrong side of the tracks, I pray that the walls would come down. Father, the walls in their minds and their will and their emotions would come down. And that today their lives would be redefined by the scarlet cord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope you enjoyed the service. We are praying for you, and we will see you next week.